I'm Michelle from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Start the presses and welcome to episode 154 of Better Podcasting. On this show, we debate your podcasting team versus podcasting tech.
In this week's Better Podcasting Download, we take issue with a TechCrunch podcast article.
In this week's Better Podback, we hear your preferences on live versus edited podcast shows.
Finally, we'll also challenge you to share a 2019 podcast goal with us. Lauren, let's get the special edition on the newsstands.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 154 of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and of course, I am pleased to say that for 3 years I've been introducing Stargate Pioneer.
Please call me SP, Steven, and we're excited to get into our third year of podcasting. Yes, officially, we've crossed that border into 3 years. Congratulations, Steven.
Well, congratulations back at you, and I should say 3 years with this show. We've been podcasting a lot longer, like three years in a month is pretty much all we've been podcasting altogether.
Well, stop being bashful. You're over 10 years now, and I'm like 8 years, so we've got some experience behind us, but this show is 3 years old. And in the course of those 3 years, we have begun to start the show with a how I saved my podcast story. Now, what this is all the listeners of the show that are podcasters, we know that you've made some mistakes with your show and then you've had to do some phenomenal things to recover that show. So this is your chance to get back to us of how you saved your podcast so you could share with the class and we can all learn from your mistakes. You can get it to us on our Twitter account at BetterPod. You can send us an email, podcast@betterpodcasting.com, and you can get Steven on our Facebook page. But the most important thing is we are a video show, so we would love to see a video. If you want to slip us some audio, we know you know how to do audio because you're a podcaster. You can do that, or you can give me a paragraph to read, and I will do so with dramatic effect.
I should say, by the way, that if you are going to send in a paragraph for Stargate Pioneer to read, you should make it as wordy as possible, using as long words as possible, as difficult for him to read as you can do.
All right, I might have to pre-record that segment. In the meantime, I am going to tell you a how I saved my podcast story. Yes, this is from SP. This is from me. I saved my podcast. Okay, I've been talking about this for a few weeks now, probably about four episodes or so. This is how I saved my podcast, and it's Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was episode 258. This is the final episode where Lauren, who's my co-host, one of my co-hosts on the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, her track is unusable because of extreme echo. I'm like, what is going on here? Okay, so here's the story of how things happen. She has a very active kitten, a cat named Pike Trickleg.
Meow.
And Pike loves to run across, I love that sound effect, by the way, run across the top of her mixer and change some settings. And Pike has been doing this for a while.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he's also been toying with some of the knobs with his mouth and stuff, maybe teething. I don't know. Anyway, the mixer gets screwed up because of this very active cat. And fun fact, this cat is so active that it actually jumped on top of her computer and jumped off the top of the computer and thus depressing the start stop knob, the on off knob, and turning her computer off during a live stream. This wasn't on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. This was on another show that she was doing. So her computer just went off and she left the stream. They had no idea what had happened. It was because Pike Trickleg had jumped off it. So Pike has had some experience messing with Lauren's podcasting. So what had happened in some diagnosis after the fact is the knobs were on the Mackie Pro FX 8V2 that she has. She has an effects channel, And the effect number 2 on the Mackie is called Warm Lounge. And she was exporting this into the Zoom H5 directly from the mixer. And she wasn't monitoring from the recording. She was just monitoring from either the mixer or her computer. I forget which. So she wasn't hearing the feedback on here. So lesson number one, make sure you monitor what you're recording. So if you're using an H5, make sure you're monitoring from the H5, not from your computer and not from the Mackie. And this effect, this warm lounge effect, it's a deep echo, basically, and it's impossible to get rid of. It's in the recording. You can't wipe it out. And there was no possible recovery for this. So for the last couple of months, I've been editing shows without her track. And if she's speaking, that means I have to go to my backup recording, which is all of the ladies, all my co-hosts on one channel, me on another channel, and my sound effects on a third channel. That's what's been going on. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to diagnose this right away because remember, Stephen, when my air conditioning went out in August, you remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
Yeah, so everything podcasting stopped except for one episode of this show during those two and a half weeks that I did not have air conditioning, which meant that Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually stopped here. Now, the lady still recorded, so I started to back up episodes that I had not edited. So it took me a while to get to the episodes that Lauren was actually experiencing a problem with. So that's part number two. When you receive the files after you've recorded them or after you've done your solo recording and you're going to wait for a while to edit it, you might want to check those files before you stick them into storage. So that's how I save my podcast number two. So I was able to replicate the issue. I told Lauren how to fix said issue. And then the echo was gone, Steven. The echo's gone. Yay.
That's awesome, because it would be very disappointing how I save my podcast story. And if you're like, and I didn't save it, there's still a problem.
Guess what? There is still a problem.
Oh, great. What's the problem?
Well, unfortunately, because she had been messing with everything, the game was a little hot and I could hear the background fan because it's cold now. Like the heaters are running and everything. So I heard her apartment fan during it. So hopefully with noise reduction, I can take care of that. I couldn't take care of the echo with post-processing, but I can take care of the fan with some post-processing. So we'll see how that works out on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. 260, I believe, will be the one that is with that. So between noise reduction and Audacity, or maybe the iZotope RX denoiser, between those two, I'm hoping to take that fan noise out.
Yeah, and you could have tried the SBL D-verb as well, see how that worked out.
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't think that would be good enough to take out the echo.
No, because it's not natural echo, right? Like, it's fake echo.
It was extreme echo. I did actually try, and it wasn't happening. So it was just so much. Like, it would go over into, like, the second word from what she said. It was really bad. She had it turned up a lot. So it's really cool for an effect, but not for a whole podcast. I mean, this would have been like her being a god figure or something in the movies that you hear. There was just no going away from it. Anyway, that's how I saved my podcast. And I'm very glad to have that done with and be able to move ahead. And I am really wondering if other people had in a How I Saved My Podcast story too.
Well, that's awesome. And by the way, I just want to say that if you're going to get in the holiday spirit sooner than later, what you might want to consider sending your co-host next is a cat cage.
I'm not going to get into the creating the cat issue with Lauren. She does have the bathroom set up to put Pike Trickleg in, but apparently he's scratching the door when he's in there too. So It's her cat. I'm not going to get in between her and her cat parenting duties.
I was just joking anyways. But if you have a How I Save My Podcast story for us, please send it in through any of the ways. Again, you can head on over to betterpodcasting.com to find all of those. But a video clip would be greatly appreciated. But before we get to our main topic, we just want to go ahead and solicit something from you, which might actually sort of tie into this. But what we are doing is in December, we are going to run an episode where we are encouraging you to listen back to one of your recent podcast episodes. So listen back to it. And out of that episode, tell us one thing based off of that episode that you've heard that you want to change in 2019. So set one goal based off of listening to it. So again, you're coming from the listener side of things. What are you going to change in 2019? Send that in to us through any of the ways, and we want you to share with us so that we can put together an episode of everybody's goals for 2019. And I'll go ahead and admit where this stemmed from. That's because just this past week, I put a piece of paper in front of me that says what, Stargate Pioneer?
Pronunciate. We can't understand what you're saying.
And the reason why is because I was listening back to an episode of the GunnaGeek.com show. I'm far worse over there. And I was like, really, Steven? You're mumbling. So I have put that down. And that is my goal going into 2019 as I close up 2018 and 2019 is to enunciate. And I determined that based off of listening back to the GunnaGeek.com show. So please share with us what that is, and you won't hear that clip for a while because we are going to do a full episode on this. You can send that to podcast@betterpodcasting.com or tweet us if you want to @betterpod, but we would really like clips because we are going to do a full episode on that. SP, anything to chime in on this?
Yes, I do. Those were not paper sound effects. That was actually Steven, for the audio listener, that was actually Steven rustling a paper, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper that had one word on it, enunciate.
So there we go. That's my goal. And as I did before with my previous goals that I've admitted on here, tweet me. When you hear me failing at this, say, Steven, at this time, you failed your goal. Hold me accountable. SP doesn't.
There's a debate that we've seen before within the podcasting world, a debate, and it's whether it's important to have a good podcasting team or good podcasting tech. And we've talked about before how it's important to surround yourself with members of your team that are reliable, that meet your common podcast goals and help you move in the direction you see of the show. We've also talked about our podcast purchases, how to choose your upgrade path, and a variety of other hardware-related topics. So today, let's answer that question. Is it really team over tech? Because that's what we've heard before, team over tech. So today, we're going to break down this question into how each of these affect your podcast, and then Steven and I are going to have a debate about which is more important.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a very odd debate because we'll both agree. So the team side of things, let's start off there. While there is a case to be made that solo podcasters still put themselves often in a team environment, today we're going to focus largely on the traditional team setup. For example, multiple people on one podcast. This might be one co-host with somebody as a producer, or this could just be many different co-hosts. But that's sort of how we're going to look at this question today, is the more traditional team side of things. So how important is teams to the entire podcast process? Well, let's start off with one of the first points of what you can get out of a successful team, and that's productivity. Having a good team as part of your podcast can be a huge asset with the productivity to your show. For example, if you divide up the development work, it can help prevent pod fatigue, or pod teague if you'd preferred. We're going to go ahead and start that off here. Pod teague. No.
Go ahead. ahead. Hashtag Podteague. Let's make it a thing.
And the reason why this will help prevent Podteague, no, it doesn't work, is not one person is going to be doing all of the different aspects of the job. And thus, it can be less exhausting when the team works together, say, for example, on notes in a collaborative manner, rather than just one person doing all of that.
A good team can also help with the productivity because you can all tackle different elements of the process. For example, on the Gonna Geek Network, we often see one person on the show do editing while the other does social media or something to that effect. Or maybe in effect, you have different people doing the editing on the same show. We've seen that work as well. Another way a good team can help your productivity is keeping each other on track. We've said it before, we'll say it again. Podcasting for the long term can be exhausting. Sometimes it's easy to get lazy. Having a good team, however, can help everyone motivate each other. And if you have a good, honest team, they can also give you other gentle nudges in areas that are needed for improvement.
Absolutely. The next sort of section of team that we'll be talking about is the dynamic. And we are talking about, of course, the dynamic duo, which is SP and I. That's us, right?
Is it that? Is it us?
Oh, wait, that's Batman and Robin. Sorry.
Wait a minute. Batman and Robin, we're in the wrong costumes. I'm in a Spider-Man costume. You're in the Captain America costume right now.
That's very awkward. All right. So talking about dynamic, one of the biggest benefits to having a good team is that there can be a very good dynamic on your show. A good team will help with this. And because listeners are liking you, the people who are putting on the podcast, it's important that they need to like your dynamic. Here's a fun fact. This good dynamic doesn't always mean everybody's just getting along on the show, agreeing with all the points. No, a good dynamic can sometimes be opposing points of view. In fact, there's many shows where listeners do like to hear that and they like to hear the disagreements. But there's this good chemistry, this good dynamic that ends up really landing with the listener. We've actually had people comment about this show and how they like when we do bust each other's chops. Right, SP?
Yeah, especially since you're in a Captain America outfit and you're from Canada.
That's really awkward. Really awkward.
Ultimately, it's important that you know everyone's boundaries, though, and everybody has to be okay with these situations if you're going to do the confrontational disagreements. In any case, the relationship between everyone needs to be authentic so that the listeners can enjoy it. But it also helps with your enjoyment. Take it from our personal experience. I mean, doing a show with somebody you like is way better than doing it with somebody that you don't like.
Yeah, and I'll just go ahead and say that Better Podcasting is a great example of our least favorite show that we do. See what I did there?
Yeah, I did. We do enjoy doing the show together. That was just for exemplary point. So a good team dynamic can also make the recording process a lot easier. When you have a good team, you're able to help each other out as needed and keep frustrations down. This is important. Somebody might be making a mistake over and over and over again. Just can't get out of what they're trying to say. And everyone else can then reassure that person to help set them in ease and make sure that they can do the correction without getting super uber frustrated with everything. Or if there happens to be a technical issue, you can all help laugh it off together and make it less stressful. Steven, you know this all too well with your live shows that you do with the complex Skype-asaurus that you got going on. As a matter of fact, when something goes wrong live, you know, I will take that opportunity to try to entertain the crowd, unless it's an audio issue that you're trying to diagnose, in which I know I'll have to stay silent. But every once in a while, I try to say something to the crowd to make sure that they know we're still there, especially with the audio speaker listeners. And then what's more important, as I said before, I try to entertain Steven in the process, too, to put him at ease and make sure that he is ready to go and jump back into the process of recording the podcast, because that's the most important thing, is getting that audio podcast out for us, at least. Yes, video is very important. Steven's hobby is doing the video stuff. He loves doing that. But the most important thing for us is to get the audio podcast out. So we have to get back in the flow of doing that from whatever technical issues arise from our live shows.
Absolutely. And I got to say that there has been so many occasions where you've just been able to entertain me and keep me sane. It's always very much appreciated when we do have said issues, and that's part of the team environment. And I'll say that Chris does this well, as also on the GunnaGeek.com show. We've had problems over there, especially with the Skype changes over the last little while. And so it's really great that I've got that team environment to keep me sane. And it's really hard to keep me sane, of all people.
It actually is, folks. He's incredibly hard to keep sane. And so let's go on to the next benefit of a team in the team versus tech discussion, and that is dependability. A huge benefit to a good team is that you guys can depend on each other throughout the entire process. When developing your show notes, when planning your notes or shows, if somebody is tied up with something, the odds are everyone else can step in and make the show a possibility on time. Or if something goes wrong last minute and somebody has to back out, a good team will likely be able to pick up the pieces or be willing to reschedule either way. And that's actually happened to us recently. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is another good example. Just last week, we had Michelle, her power went off due to a storm, and we decided to go without her, but we had to recreate the entire show because everybody's got a role on the show. So we just slipped everybody in and we were able to get the show off. We did debate whether to reschedule, and we decided not to because of everybody's schedule. So it's just stuff that happens every once in a while. Also, with dependability, there's the added benefit that if you're going to do a team podcast with more than two people, you've got flexibility usually of keeping going without somebody if they have to cancel at the last minute, like I just explained. This isn't always the case, but at least it's a possibility with a good dependable team. If you can't make a recording time on a solo podcast, on the other hand, you just ain't recording.
That was really awkward that time that I tried to. It was like, okay, I'm going to do a solo podcast. And then I'm like, wait, I can't make it. I came back, I checked my SD card, and it was empty. It was bizarre. So weird.
Wow, it's amazing how that doesn't happen. You should have probably given that to your son. Or you know what? Your brother would have made that happen.
I just went to a speech to or a text-to-speech generator. That's what I did.
Yeah, I've known people to do that before too. Yeah, there are text-to-speech podcasts out there, and I can't listen to them.
But lastly, with a dependable team, it can help create a consistent level of quality for your show. A podcast that doesn't have a dependable team will likely run into situations where either one person is going and doing all of the work, or it'll just be there's no work being done and it's a big ramble cast. In either situation, the odds are that the level of quality of that show is just going to be very unreliable, with everything falling apart one week where that one person can't do their part of the work or all of the work, as I just said. Or it'll end up being that everybody just goes on a bunch of different tangents because everyone's trying to present a bunch of different points of view that nobody knows that is on their mind, and they're all just trying to fill in the pieces. So again, it just becomes a big, long ramble cast, whole bunch of chaos, and just a whole bunch of disorganization. So dependability from your team can make a big, big impact into the level of quality content that you're putting out on your show. One might argue that it's better to have a solo podcast than a team one if there is no dependability with that team one.
Yeah, and let's not forget the whole creative part of everything. It's easier to be creative as a bunch of people rather than just one person. So if you can feed off the creativity of everybody else, it's going to make the team of the podcast better than the tech, I think. Because ultimately, that's what you're producing, is you're producing content for somebody to listen to. So creativity is important in planning and executing your content. Let's move on to the other side of the discussion, the technology, or tech benefits, as we're going to call them. So what exactly does tech do for you? First, some of it is going to allow you to put your best foot forward. The simplistic example we have of this cliche is the undialed in Blue Yeti in an echoey room where you have a bunch of people sitting around a coffee table. It's going to sound really bad compared to choosing the right microphone in the right room, likely a dynamic cardioid microphone for most hobby podcasters out there, and using good microphone technique. A further example of this on the other side of the spectrum is the Sennheiser MD46. That is an interview microphone, so it's meant to be handled. It's meant to enunciate the sound because of its super cardioid pattern around the capsule, and you still get the background sound, but it's minimized from the sound of the speaker that you're trying to get out. So for a podcast or an interview out in the field, a Sennheiser MD46 is going to be the right microphone to take care of a loud or echoey environment versus that Blue Yeti.
But let's look a little bit outside of the box here. Depending on how you record your shows, it might be the difference between being taken serious or not. Let's say that you do a show where you do a bunch of different interviews. If you bring along the right equipment for the job, that might help land you the interview. If you show up, though, with too much equipment, you need to borrow different things from where you're going, like power outlets, or take a bunch of the interviewee's time doing prep work, that interviewee might just bow out. Or let's say that you show up with a bunch of 80s looking gear, you might find that you just get a bad name around town, or they never want to talk to you again because they go, this person doesn't know what they're talking about because they just went into the dumpster and picked up something from the 80s.
There's something to be said about classic stuff, but you got to make sure it works properly too. So this logic can also be followed along if you're doing a video show. So Steven was talking to me before about this, and he said, SP, I'm going to hurt your feelings a little bit on this, but I have been complimented privately on the look of my show on the Gonna Geek show because my in-ear monitors versus your studio monitoring headphones.
Yeah, that's true. I've actually got some emails before from people and comments and whatnot about them liking how I look on the show because I'm the only one over there that uses your in-ear monitors versus SP and Chris, which use headphones. And people have commented before how they like that look better. I've also had people ask about them, what model they are. So clearly they've noticed them, which just tells me that people are paying attention to this sort of stuff. So the logic that we were speaking about before, if you have decent looking equipment and you're doing a video show, again, you might be taken seriously, or you might sort of look a little better than you are. You might be able to sell yourself a little bit better because of that. And so that's something to be considered. With that said, I always say, yes, when I did the in-ear monitors, I absolutely admitted that I was going to give up the level of quality that you get from a pair of studio cans so that I had the better visual, because I always like to say that the in-ear monitors do not give as good quality as studio cans. So I'm not saying that I'm disagreeing with SP and Chris's decision. I know that SP has personal reasons, but from a video side of things, it's something that somebody has commented on, and there's been multiple people who have.
For the new listener to Better Podcasting, my personal issues is a health issue. I actually have an ear disease, so if I put an in-ear monitor, it actually hurts my ear, and I'm liable to get an ear infection. We could talk about that offline, but I just wanted to state that's why I'm not using in-ear monitors, is because of a health reason. So while we're talking about live shows like Better Podcasting or the GonnaGeek.com show, here's another example of where we're adding equipment, and that can allow you, or us in this case, to put our collective best foots forward. For example, adding some processing, and in our example, we're talking about audio processing. Adding some audio processing equipment can allow you to sound more like your produced version, but in a live situation versus a post-produced situation. In fact, Steven, you've been kind of fiddling around with that lately.
I have. For those of you who have not really looked into the ins and out of what's called the DBX-286, which is a preamplifier slash slight processor on there, there's actually what's called an insert area, which is just past the preamplifier. And basically what that will allow you to do if you use the quote half click method is pull the audio after the preamplifier in the DBX-286. And because I have a Zoom L12, I've been capturing that separately so that when I do the live stream, people hear something that has compression added. It has enhancer, a little bit of EQ essentially because of that. And then I've been trying to pull that sort of raw feed so that I can eventually migrate towards the published version, not having any effect by the DBX-286, and all be done in software and post-production, just a little more manipulation and whatnot. Now, I've not got there yet because I'm not happy with what I've put together in post-production, and I'm getting there and I'm sort of looking at the averages. But the reason I mention this is because when I get to that stage, the DBX-286 features that I've got there, the compressor, the enhancer, all this other stuff, the gating, is all just going to be solely for my live show, because essentially none of that will be used with the posted version. So that's just something that I wanted to mention, that that's sort of the route I am headed, but it's just an example on how that equipment could help if you're doing a live show.
And also, as a little side note, that Zoom L12 mixer recorder that you have allow you to play with as many channels pretty much as you want, because you have 12 channels to record that are available to you. So you could take insert from each one of your compressors and an insert from the DBX-286 and still have channels to spare, really, with your GunnaGeek.com show with four people on it. So that's just a little added benefit of another piece of tech that you can add into the mix as well. Okay, the second benefit that tech can give you is time savings. And that is tech purchases we're going to talk about. If you're finding that you're spending a ton of time configuring your hardware each recording, or countless hours of trying to clean up a signal in post, then you might be able to save some time by investing in some tech like we were just talking about. It could be a compressor, noise limiter, gate. It could be an audio digital processor like the 286S, or it could be a recorder like the Zoom L12.
Absolutely. And let's start off with that example there, because one thing that sometimes podcasters encounter is what's called digital drift. Digital drift essentially happens when recordings fall out of sync, and that's maybe because of timing problems that could happen for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's as simple as the internal clock on the hardware that they're recording with is out of whack or is different than their other stuff that they're recording with. Or sometimes it could be that maybe you have a very underpowered computer. We've seen this happen a lot with people who do use the USB on the AT2005 or the Samson Q2U or the ATR2100, where they go and they record stuff, they double end with their partner, and then when they try to put the tracks together, they're out of sync. And sometimes this is because their computer itself is dropping a whole bunch of stuff because it's just being taxed too much. This actually will essentially happen to me when I podcast on the road, because the laptop that I travel with is garbage. And if I try to use the USB recording rather than the hardware recorder that I bring, then what happens is often there ends up being like seconds out of sync because the computer just can't keep up. And I have to go in and through those episodes, spend a lot of time making sure that I sync myself up throughout the entire duration. Now, if you are having this problem, this might be a good indication that you should invest in the hardware recorder that SP just mentioned. Because a hardware recorder isn't going to have anything to do with your laptop or your desktop. It's an isolated device and might solve the problems that you were having. Or if you're having that double end sync problem, if both of you have the same model of recorder, the odds are your clocks are going to be more in sync. It's not 100%, but it's a lot closer than two different pieces of devices.
Not to mention the fact that you could probably do a backup with a portable digital recorder like the Zoom H5 or H6, in addition to using a software recorder like Audacity or whatever you want to do on your laptop or your main PC. This is incredibly important. And it's why the Zoom H6 is my primary recorder now, because of all those issues, time sync issues, backup issues, and so on and so forth. And it's how I was able to save my podcast, like I was saying at the beginning of the episode. Let's get back to time saving. And another way that you might be able to save time is if you're having to process your audio a lot during editing. The more effects that you use in post, the longer your editing process will take. There's one called D-Click that iZotope has that I use on my recordings, and it takes forever to process. And if you put it on multiple tracks, it's going to take even more. If you do it on Audacity, it's a good, 10, 15 minutes per 1 hour recording for each track every time you run it. So if you're doing something like I do on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., where you have four different individuals and four individual tracks, that's like an hour just processing that. Or if you're like Stephen and I, when we do the movie studio recordings or processing, it just adds all that combined into one large render time. So you're talking an hour, possibly 2 hours, depending on how many effects that you put on. So this is definitely something that you might want to think about in investing some tech that makes your recorded voice sound better as you're recording. Then you have to do less post-processing later. So you're going to save yourself some time.
Absolutely. This next category that you put in the doc here, Stargate Pioneer, I thought it was pretty good. And it was talking about how tech can make you stand out. What do you got on that front?
Well, having the right tech can also help you stand out in the crowd. And if you stand out due to sounding good, and the crowd we're talking about is the listening crowd, everybody that's looking for a podcast in your niche. And if you're standing out in that crowd because of the tech that you've invested in, then it's probably been a worthwhile investment and focus to increase your audio quality. Now, I will caveat all this by saying you don't need the most expensive equipment in the world either. We've been talking about a $500 mixer. We've been talking about a $200 digital audio processor. So you don't need the most expensive, but you need the right equipment. There is a solution for every budget. And I'm going to put in there, the keyword is budget. So you are going to have to spend some money, but you don't necessarily have to break the bank. You don't have to spend thousands. You can just spend dozens, basically, to get good quality listenable audio. Now, each step up adds just a little percent extra in the audio or video, if you're doing video quality. But the key is to start with the right gear to begin with. And by that, we're talking about like a Samsung Q2U, an Audio-Technica AT2005, or an Audio-Technica ATR2100. Those are the right microphones to start out with if you have nothing to begin with. Because it has USB and XLR, it's a dynamic cardioid, and it doesn't sound bad. So is it going to sound as good as these $300 microphones with the digital audio processors we've got with them? It can, but it depends on how you can dial it in. It really depends on the use. Is it going to get you 100%? No, it's not. It'll get you somewhere between 80 and 95%, depending on use, but it's not going to get you that 100%. Yeah, for example, the de-esser that I've got running on my DBX right now, that's not possible through using a Samsung Q2U, except for in post. You can do it in post, but you can't do it live. So it's just a little example.
Good points. Excellent points, I would say. And finally, just so that we have people not smashing their phones or their iPods or their Zunes. That's right, I said Zune. Let's just wrap up this category with the super obvious point that you've been yelling the entire time that we've been talking about tech, and it's that you cannot, and let me say that again, you cannot have a podcast without tech. No, you need some level of tech to record a podcast. You need some level of tech to edit a podcast. You need some level of tech to publish a podcast. And guess what? Listeners need some level of tech to consume a podcast. Yes, we could argue that Zune is not tech, but let's just say for argument's sake that a Zune is a tech. No, it's not a tech. But anyways, you do need tech involved with podcasting. So we wanted to mention that because obviously you need tech in order to podcast. So now go ahead, pick your phone up off the ground. Hope that that screen protector worked and that it's not smashed.
All right, Steven, it's time to have that much anticipated debate, tech versus team. Let's go. You want to pick a side?
I'm going to go ahead and say no. You do not need team over tech. And then I'm going to go ahead and say yes, you do need team over tech, because I think it all depends on the situation. Everybody's different. Every podcast is different. And sometimes in the course of a podcast, you're going to need to focus on one element over the other. For example, when we started Better Podcasting, we wanted to make sure we sounded good and that people took us seriously. So we obviously focused a little bit on tech. Then later, when I decided that I wanted to actually get a bit of a good co-host, I'd focus on the team. I fired Stargate Pioneer.
You clone me and then you reprogram me and here I am, right?
What's your thoughts on this, Espy?
I will completely agree with you. I mean, we gave it away when we began with, and we said we were going to agree. Yeah, the answer is it really team over tech or tech over team? It kind of depends. It's both and it's neither. It depends on what you got going on. If you have a dysfunctional team, that's obviously going to be more important. If you sound like crap, tech is going to help you sound better. So it really depends on where you are in your podcast and what you've got going on. But it's not one or the other. It's really both. So either you have it or you don't, and you have to work towards it in order to make your podcast better. When this is what we call better podcasting. It's to help you get your show better. So if you need to focus on tech and not break the bank, by the way. And if you need to focus on team, focus on the team, the production aspects, the creativity, and that's how you go. They work together and you can't have one without the other.
No, you can't. So please let us know what's your thought on this team versus tech debate. Do you think it's just a ridiculous statement to say that your team is better than tech? Or do you think it's a ridiculous statement to say that tech is better than team? Or do you think that they're both terrible and you just do a solo podcast with no tech? Let us know what exactly you think about this whole discussion. Please get in touch with us through any of the ways. You can go ahead and find us at betterpodcasting.com. Facebook us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting or email us to podcast@betterpodcasting.com. But let's go ahead and have some team spirit as we both take issue with something.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
All right. So what we're going to take issue with is Apple. Oh, sorry. That's the Gonna Geek Show. Sorry. Wrong program.
Apple. Yeah. Stay tuned for this week's episode of Gonna Geek. It's going to be fun. Okay. This is an article that appeared in TechCrunch on the 25th of October by Eric Pecknam. And the title was basically what's next for podcasting. And the subtitle was the industry is taking the first steps towards paid subscriptions and exclusive content. There's some quotes from this article that I'm going to mention, and then we're going to talk about it. So the first quote is, today, effectively, all of the industry's revenue is from advertising. No, there is a bunch of hobby podcasters and procasters, independent podcasters that are doing very well with crowdfunding or through Patreon, whatever you want to call it. Maybe, YouTube is ad revenue, but if you have a show like Jennifer Bridney with the Congressional Dish, that is mostly crowdfunding and she's doing just fine that way. Bunch of actual good shows happen this way. So money-wise, that might be true, but if you take a look at all the podcasts out there and how they're making money, I think percentage-wise that the amount of podcasts that are making money through crowdfunding really dwarfs those that are making money through advertisement.
Yeah, and let me just go ahead and say right now that you can't use a statement like that, effectively all, without having some form of substantiation to that. That's a ridiculous statement, and it just sets the tone. As me as a podcaster, it tells me right away that you haven't done your research.
Now, and here's really the crux of the article. We'll go through several other quotes here, but this is the crux of the article. Subscription tiers and exclusive shows. I've had an issue with this the entire time I've been podcasting. How the heck can you grow a podcast with throwing your back catalog up behind a paywall? How can you do that as a hobby podcaster? If you're Dan Carlin and you're getting millions of downloads through your hardcore history, yeah, This American Life, same thing. If you got that going on, sure. But the average podcaster, the hobby podcaster, and let's remember, the average download or the medium download per show per Libsyn is somewhere around 140 to 150 downloads per episode right now. You are not going to make money by putting or grow your podcast base by putting your episodes behind a paywall. Don't do it. Make sure your content, your main content anyway, is free and available for everyone. That is the only way you're going to be able to grow your show.
Agreed. I have nothing further to say on that one.
All right. The next quote is, podcasting's future looks more like Hollywood than like NPR radio. Okay. Yeah. This worked out so well for radio, for satellite radio. Yeah. It worked out well for them. They were able to go Hollywood, weren't they, Steven?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the problem that I've got with this here is that you're making a statement about podcasting future right now based off of basically an industry in its infancy. It's still so new. It really is. Like, you know, it's not like Hollywood where you have been around for a very long time. I think that that's a very bold statement to make, and I don't think that there's any reason to substantiate that claim.
Here's the next quote. Quote, advertising isn't the best path forward, unquote. Finally, we agree on something. Now, I know where he's going with this, and I'll say I disagree with that. But yes, I agree that advertising is not the best path forward to monetize podcasting for the long term. Steven, I think you'd agree with that, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there are obviously going to be ads involved and whatnot. But I think when you look at some of the ways that people have been very successful with the, like you said, the crowdfunding and the other ways that they're delivering and monetizing that additional content and whatnot. I agree with you.
The next quote is, quote, would people pay for podcasts, unquote. And what he's specifically referencing here is he goes into detail that this is working in China. China, people pay for podcasting. Okay, that might work in China, but it's not going to work anywhere else in the world. No. Now, it might work for audio dramas, which are kind of like audiobooks, which people do pay for. People pay $50, $70, $80 for audiobooks, but that's hours and hours of content that you get that you then can consume over time. Podcasts, people just want those free. People don't want to pay for podcasts. And as long as there's going to be hundreds of thousands of podcasts available, this is going to work. Now, the issue, I'll get into another issue later why it might turn finally, but right now, this is not going to be the case.
No, and I think a really good example for those of you who are geeks like SP and I is when you look at some of the streaming services that are out there right now and sort of the way that there's been some pushback, at least in North America, a good example of this is Star Trek fans with Star Trek Discovery. I have seen so many Star Trek fans tell me how terrible Star Trek Discovery is. And then I say, oh, I'm sorry you didn't like it. And they go, no, I haven't watched it. And the reason why is because it's shoved behind CBS All Access paywall. It's a really good example on how there is a built-in fan base, Star Trek. And yes, it is a little bit different, this Star Trek Discovery, than traditional Star Trek. I will agree with that. I've watched it. But the fact of the matter is, there's been a lot of people who haven't even given it the benefit of the doubt themselves without reading reviews and whatnot because of the fact that it's shoved behind a paywall. So that's why I agree with you again on this, SP.
On the last Gunna Geek show, we had Michelle from Starling Tribune and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on, and we were looking at the fall TV schedule, and she did a little diatribe about how much money one was going to have to pay if they wanted all the streaming options for all the geeky shows that we kind of watch on the Gunna Geek Network, or at least our little small core of fans on the Gunna Geek Network. So you've got Netflix, you've got Hulu, you've got HBO, you've got CBS All Access, the Disney streaming service whenever that comes out, and the DC comic book streaming service. Okay, that's six right there. She named off all the ones and she said, for everything without internet access, you're at $47. And that's not including all the channels that you would normally get via a cable subscription. I'm like, why don't you just use cable at that point if you're going to spend that much? Now, cable, of course, is more expensive, but it's getting to the point where people are being nickel and dime quite a bit. I don't think that model is going to survive moving over to podcasting because people are getting nickeled and dimed enough with their video content. They don't want audio content the same way. It's the same way satellite radio failed, is because people want the radio free. Why would I pay for satellite radio when I could get normal radio free? And they do commercials on both. It's not like you're saving the commercials on satellite radio. So I see podcasting doing this the same thing. Yeah, it's going to, the stuff that is behind paywalls, it's got to have mega markets. And if it's got millions of downloads per episode, yes, I see it. But most podcasts don't. I mean, the amount of podcasts that get over like 80,000 is in the single digit percentages or the point percentages of total podcasts out there. and it's not going to work for everybody. So I take umbrage and issue with that. Okay, the next quote is, quote, streaming competition will drive exclusivity, unquote. No, not yet. We were just talking about that. Too many options exist today. And the final point is, quote, podcasting should embrace listener revenue, unquote. Yes, they should, but not in the way that Eric wants, not via subscriptions, crowdfunding. When people voluntarily say, I want to support you, that is how they're going to make money. And that is how most YouTubers make money. Yes, there are YouTube ad revenues, but the YouTubers that are making money today do it through super chats. So they get on a live show and they're getting $10, $5, $20, $100, $50 per donation during the super chat, or the crowdfunding per episode, or just a one-time donation. That is how they're making money. So I tend to think podcasts are the same way. It's going to be crowdfunding.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that this isn't a new concept. I think a lot of people look at it as new because Patreon has really taken off with podcasters, and it's really sort of enabled a way to more securely reward fans who do contribute and whatnot, really encourage them to contribute more and whatnot. But when you look back in the early days of podcasting, a lot of podcasters had a donate button. I'll say it. We had it on the Fanboy Buzz podcast. And I remember distinctly one listener who would contribute every month. I think it was something like $5 a month or something like that. And he made it a point to email and say, hey, just so you know, I really appreciate everything that you do, and gave us a big long thing about how he feels that he should pay for content that he enjoyed. So I know there's been a lot of other examples of this as well. I know the area that you used to hang around in, GWC, Stargate Pioneer, there's a lot of people who did that sort of thing back in the day. So it's not new, but it does show that this concept does work if it's the right podcast with the right community. So yeah, I agree. I think that crowdfunding is definitely the way that podcasting is going and has been. And I think there's enough information to show that, because it has been such a big thing for such a long time. It's not like the previous statement where it's just like, yeah, I think you're pulling things out of your you-know-where.
Yeah, fun fact, I still actually contribute to some of those PayPal donation sites. I mean, they still exist today. Jennifer Briney on the Congressional Dish, she has a variety of different ways to fund her, and Patreon is one, PayPal is another. So there, people can do multiple ones. They can't just be limited to one, but yeah, it works. So anyway, I took umbrage with this article. I showed it to Steven. He has issues, as you heard, with it as well. And eventually, maybe some dystopian future when the industry changes. Yeah. Remember SP's industry rant that he does once a year. Yeah. When that happens, then yes, I could see this. Like when the internet cuts off all access for hobbyists or independents to be able to produce their content. But until that day, there's just too many of us out there for this to be effective.
With that said, before we go into the Better Podback, I should just say that this episode has been sponsored by SP's Condenser Catastrophe Podcast. If you want to see catastrophes with condenser microphones, check out SP's Condenser Catastrophe Podcast. Use promo code SP at checkout. Not going to make that podcast, no.
I don't know. I'm going to have to see after we record if that URL is available. All right. So this is what you had to tell us this past week. I will own up and that Steven is the one who posted this because, well, there was also a Facebook version out there. But the question on Twitter was, if you could only pick one, would you prefer live podcast recording streams or produced edited podcasts? If so, why? Okay. 85% of people that responded to this said they wanted produced and edited shows, and 15% said they wanted live. I think that is very telling, Stephen.
Yeah, and I got to say that the results were very similar over on the Facebook side of things. I did end up posting it over there, and we had a little different variance. We had 8% live and 92% produced and edited. And we did have some comments that we'll read out from both Twitter and from Facebook. I'll go ahead and start off. We had Damien say, I'll just ignore the whole live streaming isn't podcasting thing for the sake of the poll. I prefer the produced version because it allows for a tighter finished product with the ability to have errors corrected. You guys yourself seem to have some sort of issue nearly every time you go live with either a sync error or something. Even though we are going to try live for the first time next weekend, I know that the main episode coming off of that will have to be edited for quality and to cut out things like looking up info, dead space, while others are written down or calculated.
Yeah, I can't disagree with him because we do that all the time on Get a Geek and Better Podcasting, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Starling Tribune. So yeah, it's all the shows that I'm on. So over on Twitter, the Chris Farrell, who is my co-host on Get a Geek and the Starling Tribune, and also the producer of All Things Good and Nerdy on the Get a Geek Network, said, I'll go live recording streams. I love the real-time interaction between the host and the chat room. And best of all, a community can be built around those that watch live. Makes for a great experience for the podcaster and the listener. And you know what, Stephen? I forgot to ask him. I was going to ask him what percentage of his listeners are live and what percentage of his listeners are post. Because I think it's two different things. If you do a live show just to get the fan interaction and have the community, that's one thing. But I don't know if it makes a great time-delayed edited show afterwards.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Also on Facebook, we had Jack say, we tried doing live to Twitch Plus. Getting everything ready at a certain time and being live put a lot of pressure on us. Something always would go wrong. We now just record it, edit, and release it later. It's much easier. Being able to stop recording for a minute to take a break or fix a problem was the main reason.
Oh, back on Twitter, at Bandrew says, said, I'd pick produced edited because that's the spirit of podcasting. On demand. Listen whenever you want rather than you can only watch this, listen to this at this time.
That's a really good point. And I will agree that if I was answering this question, that would be a major factor in my answer. So, Bandrew, again, there's a reason you and I are in a band together. Again, band Cole and Drew coming to a city near you soon.
In response to Bandrew's tweet, at Ben Brown Media said, a lot of podcasters can pull off live well, but so often for listeners, it's just difficult to sit through. Audio glitches and the hang on, folks, stuff makes not fun listening, granting certain exceptions. Live can be magical in general, but it's not my thing for podcasting.
We also had Dave Clements say, I feel like I'm missing out when I listen to a live show. I like them, but I have major FOMO. What's FOMO, SP?
Fear of missing out. And he also clarified later, he said, I feel like I'm missing out if I'm listening to a live show after it was live.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I definitely can see that. And that's why here on Better Podcasting and the official GoGinnaGeek.com show, we do try to mention that we do things live. You can check out this show live on Wednesdays, usually at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. But we try not to make it a live experience because we do know a lot of people are listening in post. And so we want to make sure that they don't have FOMO.
Not at all. Also, the Zachary Webb tweeted us and he said, produce edited is a better experience without all the audio, video problems and awkward silence. Yeah, I can definitely see that for a lot of podcasters that just aren't familiar with the live experience or screw up as much as we do.
I don't know what Zachary means. I don't know what he means.
Did you forget to hit record again, Steven?
I'm leaving all of that in just so that, you know, the post listeners can hear what it's like live. The entire show, that's how I speak. The entire show.
Thank you for all the interaction to that poll, both on Twitter and Facebook. We love doing the polls, so we'll see if we can put another one again for a future show. We're going to change topics right now, and we're going to go with another tweet from Bandrew Scott in response to our last episode, and he said, in regard to the timestamps and teaser, I know it's a pain. It takes me forever to do. I don't ever skip around podcasts, and most podcast listeners don't, but on YouTube they do, since it's more search-based discovery. So it's about providing a better video experience, in my opinion. Interesting.
I think that's a really fair point. I see a lot of YouTubers like that. When we've been asked to do it, generally it's been on our video side of things, so I completely get that. I probably should do it. It really wouldn't take that much time, but you know, we release the show on Sundays, and let's be honest, I don't want to do more work on Sundays because I know that I have to go to work the next day.
That's the worst releasing. That's the best day of the week to release a podcast, is like Sunday night, Monday morning, right? But it's also like, as a podcaster, it's like, I got to go to work tomorrow. So if you could get it done before Sunday night, the better off you are. But if you're doing, if you're releasing like three shows on Sunday, like I do, yeah, that sucks. Also, Bandrew wants to clarify a little bit more on what he said here. The teaser also functions as a way to set expectations for the video. Most videos on YouTube are single topic videos. But within the first few seconds, when I say, quote, we're talking about this, 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 and more, unquote, they know, oh, this is a multi-topic video.
Yeah, and, you know, to follow up on this conversation from last week, it's not anything new. Like, I know that I went on a little bit of a soapbox moment, but when you look at some television shows and whatnot, they've been doing it for a long time. Like, look at the news. It's a great example of that. They always start the news with what they're going to be talking about in the hour. And, you know, even you look at things like Mythbusters, right? The good old Mythbusters, we'll talk about that. You know, the old ones, they're the same sort of thing. So there's a lot of shows that do this, and it's not a new concept by any means to podcasting, but just bugs me because I'm old and I'm crotchety, and I can admit that.
Wow, you're getting to my state. Get off my lawn. Literally, I've told kids to get off my lawn this year.
Was it on Halloween?
Actually, almost. I let them get away with it, but I'm like, oh, guys, come on. It's that time of year where you don't want to be walking on the ground. Okay.
How dare you come to my house asking for handouts? That's a quote from SP on Halloween. Exactly.
It's not the case at all. I bought $80 worth of candy, and I had like half a bag left at the end of the night. So I gave it all away. I did. I sat out in my driveway, and I gave it out. This crotchety old man that says, get off my lawn, gave away candy.
All right. Well, kids, make sure if you were trick-or-treating in SP's neighborhood, check your candy, because we don't know what ulterior motives he had.
Come on, man. all right. Thank you to everybody that interacted with us this past week and a half. We're recording on Friday night instead of the normal Wednesday night because of Halloween. So thank you, everybody that dropped by in the live chat. We really appreciate you guys doing this on Friday night. We've had Bandrew, we've had Johnny Pennington, we've had Bangs, we've had some other people in the live chat. Thank you very much. We also have gotten some tweets, and people are listening to us and tweeting at us. So that is awesome. Thank you very much for spending your Friday nights with Better Podcasting.
Absolutely. But that is going to take us to the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we'll remind you we're part of the Gonna Geek Network. The Gonna Geek Network has a bunch of amazing geeky content. If you want to check that out, please do so at GonnaGeekNetwork.com. We really would like you to check out some of those shows and make sure you tell them that Uncle SP and crotchety old Uncle Steven sent you.
Please do. And thanks for checking out the show. Thanks for checking out the network. If you do, there's a lot of great shows over there. I mean, we're in the midst of TV season, and we've got some people covering Doctor Who. We've got at least two podcasts doing that. And there might or might not be somebody that actually got to play Yoda on our network.
Ooh, but that is going to take us to the end of the show. So for episode 154 of Better Podcasting, I'm Steven John Drew saying, apparently I wore a Captain America shirt today. SP is not going to ever let me live this down.
And I'm SP saying, I'm glad I caught that. I'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
See ya. I'm Canadian, by the way.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.